The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Here on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we find ourselves just days away from Christmas. And if your family is like many families, it's time to gear up and get ready for an annual holiday tradition. All the family drama. Trust me, I get it. The holidays have a way of stirring this up, whether it's among extended family that you rarely see, tense political conversation over a holiday meal, whether it's all the stress and resentment around gift giving, or the weirdness of being a college student or a young adult going back to your parents' home. Whether it's missing loved ones who have died or those you can't see this Christmas, the holidays have a particular way of reminding us that family is hard. What I love about the gospel reading for the fourth Sunday of Advent, though, is that we get to experience the story of the birth of Jesus from someone who gets it, Joseph. We don't really know all that much about who Joseph is, except his family. We know the family from which he was descended, the house of David. In the way his story is told, he's linked to another Joseph in our scriptures, Joseph, the son of Jacob, in Genesis. The genealogy in Matthew tells us that Joseph's father was also named Jacob. Both Josephs have vivid dreams in which they encounter God and receive guidance. Both Josephs flee to Egypt to escape persecution. In Matthew, it's from a murderous King Herod who wants to slaughter all infants under the age of 2. In Genesis, Joseph flees to escape a band of 10 brothers who seek to kill him and fling him in a ditch. He finds his way to Egypt because one pleads for mercy, and so they only sell him into slavery instead. I told you, family can be complicated. And then there's the family of Joseph's own, Complicated family is something that Joseph of Nazareth knew all too well. He is betrothed to Mary and not long afterwards learns that she is pregnant. As Bob mentioned last week, under the law of the day, he had every right to have her stoned for her presumed infidelity. But Joseph decided to dismiss her quietly instead. I am certain that this was not the family that Joseph was expecting. But then an angel appears to him in a dream and fills him in on what's actually going on. Don't worry, Joseph. She hasn't been with anyone else. She's just having a baby with God. That's all. Right. But then the angel tells Joseph not to be afraid and tells him to name the baby Jesus. Joseph doesn't speak anywhere in this encounter or anywhere in Scripture for that matter, but we do hear in Matthew's gospel that he carries out the instructions that the angel gave to him. Matthew, as he wrote his gospel, also took time to note that no relations took place until after the child was born, which is a little problematic for those who would like to uphold the notion of Mary's perpetual virginity. In fact, much of what we assume about Joseph stems from this idea. This includes the assumption that he was much older than Mary, perhaps no longer capable, and that the idea that people named in the Gospels as Jesus's brothers and sisters were actually Joseph's children from a previous marriage. But none of this is in the Bible. Centuries of theological discourse are devoted to the kind of did they or didn't they that might seem more appropriate for a soap opera or reality TV. Because so little is known about Joseph, the Christian tradition has been left to speculate in this way. But what we don't have to speculate about is the first thing we learn about Joseph in Matthew's gospel, that he was a righteous man. The term righteous was not used for many humans in the Bible, more often reserved for God. And as a writer named Michelle Henricks wrote, that when she compared the call of Joseph to the effort that she put into finding childcare for her first child, that of course God was going to want someone righteous, someone loving and faithful to be an earthly father for his son. Thomas Aquinas wrote in the 13th century about the important role of Joseph in salvation history because he gave Jesus and Mary, the eternal word and the God-bearer, what they needed to survive in society, the society into which Jesus was born. Maybe this is why we don't hear about Joseph again after Jesus turned 12, because many attribute this fact to the likelihood that he had died. But it's also important to note that once Jesus was 13, he would have been considered an adult male in society and could speak for himself and his mother. We do know that the likelihood that Joseph has died by the time of Jesus' crucifixion is high, not only because he's not there with Mary, but also in the fact that it would have been his responsibility under Jewish custom to remove Jesus' body from the cross and to see that he had a tomb. And Joseph is not there to complete those tasks. They are completed in his stead by another Joseph, Joseph of Arimathea. What I find so compelling about the figure of Joseph that we heard in the gospel this morning, in addition to his willingness to follow God's call into an unknown and likely dangerous family situation, is the fact that in his embrace of his role as the caretaker of Jesus and Mary, he gives us a glimpse of family as something not purely defined by biology. Joseph embraces Mary and Jesus as his family, even if biology and society might say otherwise. And in his decision to be family to the ones God has placed into his life, I think he is a perfect saint for everyone who finds family hard. The patron saint of those who spend holidays with their family of choice rather than their family of origin, who enjoy Friendsgiving more than Thanksgiving, for those whose relationships with family are less than ideal, for families of any kind defined by love rather than biology. In this important role in the Nativity story, Joseph foreshadows an important aspect of Jesus' ministry, of the redefinition of family as those who follow the will of God, of those whose bonds are created out of love. Jesus says this when his family visits him outside of Nazareth, when he encourages disciples to choose their commitment to the kingdom of God over biological ties, when he looks down at Mary and the beloved disciple at the foot of the cross and says, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." This broader definition of family that Jesus teaches us, that he learned through the example of Joseph, the man who raised him, comes to us as a theological affirmation of something we already know, something that resonates deeply with our lived experience of the fact that families aren't just only one thing. They can be defined by biology, by choice, by marriage, by neighborhood, by fostering and adoption, and yes, even by church community. And our lives are so much richer for the many types of family that can support and nurture us throughout our lives. Each type comes with its own complications, and there are times when unhealthy family relationships of many kinds need to end. But the good news that comes with this more complex view of family is that even if particular relationships need to end, even if family of any kind disappoints us or fails us, even if we grow apart, no matter what happens within any particular family group, we are never cut off from the possibility of family. This is very good news. At a time of year when family can hurt and complications can feel extreme, when beloved traditions no longer make sense, when family as one knew it no longer exists, in Joseph and in Jesus, the son Joseph chose, we see signs of hope, the possibility of new life. And though it's the other big church holiday and not this one, I'm going to say it anyway, of resurrection. Joseph's loving embrace of the family God gave him is an important example for us as we make our way into Christmas celebrations this week. Family's not always going to look the way we might hope or expect. Family's complicated. Family may or may not include biological ties, but within the human family, whether biological or chosen or a wider community like this very church, whatever its makeup, there is possibility for joy, for new life, to be fully seen and loved for the person you are. And that's what makes family. Amen.